I'm glad you brought him up. What's the 100-point watch look like right
he's
now?
He's on pace for 95.
Fucking cocks. Oh, I'm sorry. Excuse me. I want him to hit 100 so bad in this shortened season. I'd be so fired up. Excuse my French.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Hoser's Panel. This is episode 18. My name's Taylor, not Tyler, and I'm joined by Tyler T. Croaks. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, buddy. Doing great. Thanks for asking. Happy to be here.
Right on. And my boy Mike. What's going on, Mike?
Oh, I'm doing great. Pleasure to be back. I'm excited to talk some hockey again.
Stat guy pots.
Yeah, right on.
Pot guy stats.
last week was obviously trade deadline day we recorded, so it was pretty busy. We had a lot going on. So this
great
week
show.
I kind of
great
there's
show.
A little yeah, it was. We were buzzing last week, but this week I think it's nice we slowed down a little bit. We got a bit more to kind of
easier to isolate.
Yeah, totally. I think we all kind of agreed that we wanted to start with congratulating Patrick Marleau for breaking the all-time games record in the NHL. Mike, you got the
what a milestone, man. Holy
1,768
shit.
Games played.
Whew. Like, congrats. Obviously, Gordie Howe was the next or the leader up until today. But he passed him tonight playing the Vegas Golden Knights, which Mike brought up about 6 months ago when we first started the pod.
Yeah.
So it's good to see him, you know, like not sit out with any injuries and actually follow through on the exact night that we pointed it out.
Yeah, if in this crazy year he didn't sit out a single game on this day, he would have been passing that early. Yesterday, was it? Yesterday.
Tonight.
Tonight. Hell yeah, fucking tonight.
Yeah, he's playing the game right now.
Yeah, like an hour ago.
Dude, wicked, man. That's crazy to think. How many years is that?
23 seasons, I believe.
Fuck me, man.
He did 24. He missed a season and a half, obviously, due to lockouts.
Yeah.
So his debut was October of 97.
Yeah, he was drafted in 97, which is a year after I was born, which is nuts. So,
yeah, it's crazy.
Good for him, man. That's so good. That's awesome. He's such a fun player too to watch. Like, just Mr. Consistent, I'd say. Like, he's always been relevant, right? Like, even now he's what, like 40 or like 38, 39, and he's up there. He's relevant. So
it's remarkable. Great to see. It's remarkable too. I'm just looking up right now. It looks like they're 2-0 right now. It's early, but 2-0 started the second for the Sharks over the Vegas Golden Knights right now.
Man, he is.
Yeah.
Could be a special night. Those guys, you know, those guys are absolutely wired. So it's going to be exciting to watch. Got gold buckets out, but I don't know if that'd be enough.
He's been in the league longer than some of the teams in this league.
Yeah,
and he's only two years younger, essentially, than the Colorado Avalanche. Because the Avs joined the league in 95,
and Marleau
joined 97.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry. Did you see the crest on the San Jose Sharks tonight?
I just noticed
it right now. So it's a number 12. It looks like mostly white with some black bold in the background, almost like block letters fading backward. And inside the white, it has the Patrick Marleau signature. That is fresh.
Oh, that's so cool.
That is fresh, dude. I've never seen that. That's nice. They should do that this is a milestone, but they should do that more. That's good looking.
The next time somebody breaks the,
yeah, I was gonna say this is gonna happen
record.
Much, but that would be nice if they did that more. That is fuck me.
Especially nice on the white jerseys.
I was gonna say, dude, that really is fresh. Some about when the boys, especially a young team, know they look good. They just play remarkable. Oh man, I got a real quick one too, just since I'm talking about Vegas. Mark Stone's nub job. The fucking
nub
have job. You seen it? What do you want to call it? The club?
No.
The
elephant trunk.
He's fucking hitting his desk.
The nub.
No, fair it's enough.
But
dude,
it is. It's a club.
It is fucking. It looks like a troll club. Like,
yeah.
It looks ridiculous. This is Harry Potter. Go ahead.
Did you guys see Patrick Marleau's like custom gloves?
Yeah,
I did.
So cool.
What do you guys think? I like them.
Except for the error, they're good.
What was the
error?
Yeah, there's an error on it. So.
Mike
kinda,
would.
They screwed up the English on it.
Oh.
It says most games played in NHL history, which is fine. And then it says 1,768 NHL games.
Ah, fucking shit.
So instead of, you could do it one of two ways, either 1,768th game or 1,768 NHL games, but they put the TH and the S in games. Unfortunately. Wow.
That is unfortunate.
They also look like they're made in like the 90s. Also, like, they don't look like new gloves.
Yeah, they look don't very look blocky. Great,
which, I mean, he could be wearing the same gloves he wore when he broke it.
Look, they just showed the knob, man. That thing's ridiculous. He's on the bench, just like, oh my God, just like one of those, just sticking up. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's a whole.
I've actually never seen that. Like, even lacrosse goalie sticks, I don't think I've seen one like that. Like, that's ridiculous.
Ridiculous. Like, goalies are pretty close, but
yeah. Yeah, I was going to say, goalies get there, but that's ridiculous. Anyway.
It's quite bizarre.
Pardon me.
Mike, Patrick Marleau, he likes to wear the same pair of skates, so I wouldn't be surprised if those were the same gloves. That,
Did you guys see this other stat about him?
Hit it? No.
He's appeared in at least one game with 37% of every NHL player that's ever been in the league.
Nuts. 37%. He's played with 37% of the players in the league. It's crazy.
So he's been in a game involving 3,009 different players out of 8,100 players that have ever suited up in the NHL in 104-year history.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Over a third... of every player that's played an NHL game has been in a game involving Patrick Marleau.
So cool.
That's bonkers.
Yeah.
That's remarkable, man.
It makes a bit of sense when you think of the amount, like the size of rosters has increased since, like back in the day, it was like 10 man rosters.
Yeah.
It's still crazy to think about.
Definitely. You see, obviously, the game before tonight's was against Minnesota, and you see the whole Minnesota Wild line up to shake his hand.
Yeah, they all shook his hand. That was really cool.
Yeah, it's awesome. That's exactly what this game is all about, right?
Like, oh, yeah.
You're opponents, and you hate each other on the ice, but then after, you can be so happy for the guy. So,
it's great. It's really special, too. Like, fuck, that's just mind-boggling. It's not something you think you're going to see in your lifetime. You never think you're going to, and then when it happens, it's just mind blowing. It's crazy as Marleau too.
Oh, it's crazy to think about, like 1,768 games. It's like, okay, that's a lot, but like you think about it, like they play 82 games a season. That's over 20 seasons if you play every single game.
And you know what too? Like, this isn't a guy that went to the end that played a lot of he played a lot of playoff games, but this isn't a guy that, you know, went to the end or got extended seasons a lot, or it's wicked. It's fucking wicked. Is there who's active that's close? Do we know? That's an obscure one I didn't prepare.
I would assume Joe Thornton's probably pretty close.
That's my first guess, but
does he have a cup? Sorry.
Patrick Marleau, think so. No. Which sucks, because I think Toronto was one of the big things.
Marleau O'Chara. Chara's 13th.
Thornton's 6.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then after that,
thank you.
Fucking nobody.
Yeah.
Right.
Nobody in the top 50.
No.
That's crazy. That's crazy, man.
Yeah.
I kind of like that it's from teams like that. Like
Eric Staal is next at 72nd.
Jeez.
80 games played. So he's a mile behind. Probably won't get there either.
That's so cool, man. Good for Marleau. Good for Chara. Like, what a hard thing to do. Let alone, like, on all pretty much one team. And, like, the only teams he went to was, like, to play with, like, some of the all-time greats and trying to make it. What a story.
I think the last time he missed a game was 08-09.
Fuck.
If my math is correct.
Ty was in grade 8. That's crazy, dude.
Okay, now I got a question for you. So he has no cups, just under 200 career playoff games.
Uh-huh.
Which most likely he'll probably end his career at that. I don't see the Sharks making it this year, unless he gets traded, because I'm assuming he'll just re-sign with the Sharks forever. So unless he gets traded at a deadline, he'll probably stay at 200, just under 200 games. Is he a Hall of Famer? He's got just under 1,200 points. Not much hardware, but does the longevity get him into the Hall of Fame?
I think holding 100%. The milestone, holding the milestone's not the right word. Holding the record, that's insane. Yeah. You pass Gordy Howe. To pass that name on a accolade just, like that is incredible.
Pardon how me. Like he, if anything, he's in the Hall of Fame strictly for the number of games played.
Yeah, but, thank you.
But like, I think he was a solid enough player to make it on, like career standings alone. That's my thought.
Like 1,200 points. If he retired at like 1,000 games with the same like points percentage and everything like that, do you think he's a Hall of Famer?
No,
not at all. Not at all.
So like, if he played like 1,200 games with say 800 points, kind of like the same thing, and he's not a Hall of Famer.
Yeah. It's not about him as a player or how good he was. I mean, he was good, but he wasn't like amazing. But it's just the consistency throughout the longevity of his career.
Oh yeah, like, I agree with you. But yeah, by the way, I do. I agree. He should be in the Hall of Fame.
No, yeah, well, but
He's also got two Olympic golds, so it's the Hockey Hall of Fame, right? It's not just.
Right, that's true.
It's not just the
that's true.
NHL Hall of Fame, so I think he gets in. I think he deserves to get in, too.
Definitely.
Well, they're one of those teams that, like, they were always, like, I don't want to say cheated, but they were always so close yet so far.
Oh, yeah.
Like, and, like, there was so many in the West when I was growing up that were like that. Like, you know, they look good or they have great runs or they have so many great years and they never make it. But to be on that team for that long and... Like just it's the number of games that really stands out, but he was always on his way, and yeah, a good point with the gold medals. That's gotta push him over the top.
15-time 20-goal scorer.
Yeah, there you go.
Wow.
Perfect.
Yep. We can end it there, I think.
I think that's all I had on him. Yeah. Oh, it's last note. It was his family's first game seeing him this year because it's in Vegas, so Vegas has
no
a crowd.
No way. That's
so
it's right.
The first time his family's been able to see him. Which
that's
is
no awesome. Way.
Pick a game.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That's so super sick.
Cool. So yeah, congrats to Patty Marleau. Huge accomplishment.
Fucking right.
Anytime like an all-time record falls, that's big.
Yeah.
There's no luck of the draw to get to there. You gotta have something right going for you, and you gotta put in a lot of work to get any record really.
I love seeing that go to a beauty veteran that never won a cup, you know? Like, it's a little bittersweet, but it's... Oh, fuck. Ottawa scored. It's bittersweet, but it's really nice that, you know, just to end your career near that, like, that's... Fuck, what a milestone. And, like, every game from now on is just such a tally. Like, you got in the back of your head. You should be smiling a little. Like, you're making history kind of every time you step on the ice now. That's kind of wicked. Ooh, I like that. I like that on Marlowe's name. It's crazy to think he's got more games than Gordie Howe, man.
That's crazy. It's
mind-blowing to think that.
Gordie Howe, like, had a few seasons that didn't come over because he was in the WHA or whatever it was.
Oh.
So some of his games didn't count.
Right.
But he still had fucking tons.
Sorry, I'm nerding out. I just think it's a really cool accolade.
Oh, yeah. Big time.
Sorry, for us to also be able to, like... witness his career.
See the whole awesome. Career? Yeah, like...
Right? Like I've
never
one
seen
thing
that.
To say, like, oh, yeah, well, like, Gordie Howe, he's number one, right? Like, well, I never watched Gordie Howe play a game live. Like, he was way retired before we were even born, kind of thing. So, it's really cool to, like, have a player our, like, day and age where we watch him night in, night out, do this.
Like, we've literally been alive his entire career.
the closest to that team is kind of, I think, is kind of Detroit to me. Like, I was a little late on their career, but those are the guys that grew up. And, like, that team, that fucking, like, franchise was not... And, like, Chicago, but Chicago and San Jose as well. It was so fun to watch that core group grow up together and, like, just be so good, but they never quite made it, but... I love that he gets his accolade, but doesn't quite get the main goal. I think that's wicked. So most guys don't get that main goal, don't get much.
Mike, you were talking about
Michael. Hey, there he is.
I was looking at Gordie Howe's numbers.
Yeah.
So, or like just his fucking age range and stuff. So he's born in 1928. Jesus. He retired from the NHL in 71. So he was 43. Jesus. Started playing in the WHA at 45 and retired in 79. So he was 51.
Holy
fuck. So he played 1767 NHL games. How until he was like until he was like 43, and then he skipped 2 years, or they're not 2 years of stats aren't available, and then joined the WHA for another 419 games.
How old was Marlowe then?
How old was Marlowe? He was drafted in 97, sorry. So that's 24 years on top of 18, 42.
Damn, dude. Gordy was 51?
Yeah, when he retired from the WHA. And then he came back to play NHL for 79.
With his son, right?
In 1979 and 1980.
Wasn't that season he played as a kid or no? I mean, I'm tripping, but...
Yeah, he played with his son. I don't know.
I thought that was like...
Ben. Oh, yeah, it is, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
For 1 year at age.
Fucking yeah, yeah. For no reason, but...
50-something.
But cute.
Put up 15 but goals cute. And 26 assists, 41 games, or 41 points in 80 games at, like, 53.
Jesus.
What the fuck? Just hooking everybody.
And then played
God,
a game...
God bless him.
Played a game for the Detroit Vipers of the IHL in 1997.
He's, like, 79?
You're 69 years old.
Jesus Christ. That's nuts, man. Like, that's just insane. That's not even funny anymore.
Does anyone have... one thing before I move on from Marlowe. Last thing. Does anyone have, like, a stand-up memory? I don't think I have one. Isn't that weird? I was like... Anybody? For, like, a stand-up memory from Marlowe?
Not off the top of my head.
Not off the top? No. Like, I was going to say, I can't think of a particular game where I was like, holy shit, but... I also didn't follow the Sharks like crazy. I just know like their crazy playoff runs were wicked to watch.
Yeah.
I was just kind of curious because, I mean, he's been around forever. I know he's done a million things, but I can't say I particularly watched him a ton.
Yeah, I don't know. He was an unreal Carolina Hurricane, that's for sure. That's all I can remember.
Legend. He scored 4 goals in 1 period. That's kind of cool.
Oh my god. Was that on the Leafs? Where was that? That sounds familiar. Almost recent.
No. 4 goals in the third period of a Sharks game with the Avs January 23rd, 1997.
He was
the first Jeepers. Since Lemieux did it in 97. It doesn't say what year. But it was his 495th, 6th, and 7th goal.
Not bad.
So, yeah.
All right, just wondering.
Well, we've talked about the old guys. Should we go to the young guys?
Let's do it.
Yeah, let's do it.
So this morning, Monday morning, Bob McKenzie released his kind of mid-season, in a not really mid-season ranking of the 2021 NHL draft, which is scheduled for late July, I believe, a couple of days after the expansion draft. And Bob McKenzie basically asks, I think it's usually about 10 NHL scouts, executives, people higher up in NHL organizations to kind of give their consensus drafts, and he compiles all 10 drafts and kind of completes his overall consensus. So it's not really Bob McKenzie drafting or ranking everybody, but kind of an idea of where NHL teams are kind of looking. So it's a really good indication because it's usually fairly accurate. And at number one, huge defenseman. I think we talked about him a little bit. Was it in our WJC's episode? Our very first episode?
I think so, yeah.
We're talking about Owen Power.
Oh.
Because we talked about Team Canada.
We did.
He didn't
first get 4 or 5 episodes,
yeah. Yeah, he declined. But yeah, Owen Power, big defenseman out of Michigan in the NCAA. 10 out of 10, he was given the number one rank. And I mean... 6'5" and a half. You know, NHL teams love the height.
Yeah.
Love the big bodies.
Doing really well in Michigan too, right? Like 26 games played, 19 points as a defenseman.
16 points, I think.
Oh, sorry. You're right. 3 goals, 16 points.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean everybody's basically got their NCAA looks done because their season's over.
Yeah.
So kind of now it switches over to the CHL and they're hopefully getting their last few weeks. I'm not too sure how long it's going to last, but
keep getting setbacks. Yeah, you never know, right? BC is kind of all over the place with all this COVID news, so.
And then, yeah, tied second, two different guys. I guess they're equally amount of rankings was Dylan Gunther out of Edmonton, the WHL.
Yeah.
And Simon Edvinson out of Frölunda in the Swedish Hockey League.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know too much about this draft, so there's only a few names that I, like, really know. So I got a lot of insight. We'll get more into that when draft season kind of rolls around. We can look into it like, during the off season, and that's usually when I take a look at all the draft prospects and everything.
Totally, yeah. It's so interesting, specifically with like the lack of games played for all of these players right now, because like going into the year, it looked like the top six or seven were all defensemen, right? Like there wasn't really a forward like on the radar.
Mm-hmm.
For like the top, at least top five picks.
Other than, the guy who's at number four, he was kind of up there. But
yeah, I was going to say, then Beniers kind of like stepped it up in the World Juniors, looked really good. And it was like, maybe he could go top five. It's so interesting to see now another forward enter in at number two. You have four. Ty.
You have four.
Oh, dude, I was like, what is happening? That's funny. You have four defensemen in the top seven. Top ten at this point.
Yeah.
There's four defensemen. And really, like, to start the year before the seasons started, it was like the top six were defensemen, so... It's really, really interesting to see these guys kind of fall off.
Yeah, and I mean, you see a forward like put up points, and they're instantly gonna gravitate a bit of awareness to them. It's a bit harder for defensemen to kind of gain rank that aren't like crazy offensive defensemen.
Yeah,
but like, in a normal year, be looking at these midseason rankings. We'd be looking at like Dylan Gunther in the WHL midseason ranking. He's probably got 50 games played. Right, it's not usually like exact midseason. It's usually about this time, and now he has 12.
Yep.
Like the looks are so low.
12 goals though too. So. Right.
Yeah, 12 goals, 24 points. Not a bad way to gain the rankings. Number four, Matt Beniers out of Michigan as well. So him and Owen Power kind of, and then another one at eight we'll get to as well. All out of Michigan. And Beniers, WJC's put him on the map as a gaining prospect. Then he just took it straight to college as well. 24 games, 24 points in a rookie season before you're even drafted. That's a hell of an NCAA season.
Yeah, big time.
The last name that everybody knows, Luke Hughes, big defenseman out of the USNDTP. Brother of Quinn and Jack, the third Hughes to go in the most likely top 10.
Oh my God.
And just a big offensive guy. And I think he's got a bit more defensive skill compared to Quinn, but Quinn's got the skating.
Yeah. And, yeah, he's bigger, right?
Yeah.
6'2".
Yeah, 6'2".
180.
How old is this kid?
Man, can we just talk?
17.
Was this the kid we saw when we were at the hotel? Remember we saw the Hughes family, didn't we? We were like getting coffee, me and you, and you're like, I'm pretty sure that's the Hughes family, and they had like the New Jersey Devils hats on, and there was like four. It was me and Mike. I remember being like, one was pretty tall, and I was like, I wonder if that like you're like, oh yeah, like one's gonna be like the next guy, and I was like, is that the next one or not? I was wondering if it was him, but
it would have been most likely.
Yeah, I just can remember. Yeah, you can remember. Cool. It was wicked. It was the hangover coffee. We just like were behind the line. Go ahead, sorry.
No, that's okay. I totally blanked on what I was gonna say.
Number six, Brant Clark, out of, I think he's playing in Slovakia.
Yep, he is. Nov Zamki.
Yeah, another defenseman. That'll be the four defensemen in the top 10, all in the top 6 for Bob McKenzie's rankings.
What is his name?
Brant Clark. B-R-A-N-D-T. Brant.
Okay, Roger.
He was a CHL guy who, like, obviously moved over to Europe because the CHL wasn't playing and he wanted to play hockey.
Right, so. Okay, gotcha. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, no worries.
One of the top forwards, I thought he would be number 2, not number 3, but William Eklund out of the SHL. Smaller guy. He's only 5'9". But he's playing in the SHL. 40 games played this year, 23 points. I think his size is probably knocking him down a little bit because teams are still scared to take him.
Yeah.
Or take these smaller guys. But from what I've seen, this kid is a beast. He's one of the few guys that I actually quite know in this draft. Yeah, I think he's a star.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like you said, he's 5'9", right? So a little bit smaller, but still showing that he can put up 23 points in 40 games in a men's league, which is great. But he reminds me a lot of Nils Höglander. Like, both of them around the same size, offensively gifted, and then can make an impact on, like, intensity game. Thank you. Perfect. Good word. Yeah, it's fun. Swedish-born players, too, so I like him a lot.
All right. And then number 9, we round out our number 8, we round out our third Michigan boy, Kent Johnson, the center of Michigan. Just a solid player. I don't really know too much about him, but 27 points in 26 games. Michigan was
good. He was a BCHL kid.
He was, yeah.
Yeah, played for the Trail Smoke Eaters.
I was going to say, I thought it was Trail, but...
Oh my God, what?
Yeah.
BCHL classic.
That's wicked. The Trail Smoke Eaters?
Yeah.
God bless, that's awesome.
Their logo's like a factory.
Yeah, it really is, yeah. Just like a, yeah.
The alternative possibilities are blowing my mind right now. Sorry, what else we got?
And then rounding out the top 10, number 9 is Chaz Lucius, an incredible name. He's also in the USNDTP. And 13 goals in 12 games this year. Obviously, once again, just he got injured a little bit, but one of the guys that just gets limited viewing. And then number 10... kind of the wild card, as they usually are, the goalie, Jesper Wallstedt. He's been projected up here for a long time. I'm actually surprised he's at 10.
You thought he'd be higher or lower?
I thought he'd be higher.
Really? Yeah,
same. There's a lot of things projecting him. Like,
why do you feel that?
Oh, he's been talked about for so many years, and he's been like Sweden's go-to guy for a while.
Right.
And, yeah, consistently well played, and he's got the height, and he's got, his mobility and his movements are so clean.
Yeah, he's super smooth.
Yeah.
Friend of the program, too. When we first, like, thought that we were going to do a podcast, I was like, follow him on Instagram. He's, like, 14 or 15 or something like that at the time, or 16, I guess, at the time. And I was like, hey, like, fucking, you're great. Let's fucking do something. And he messaged me back and was like, yeah, bud, like, thanks for the support. Super excited to, like, play hockey. It's my dream. And, like, hopefully I'll be in North America one day. I was like, oh, fuck. Like, he messaged me back. So
we'll be at the draft waiting for you, reply.
Bud. Yeah. Yeah. Be cool if he replied and get him on the pod. That'd be kind of neat.
Would
That'd
love cool. that, man. Especially a goalie. Would be so sick. First guest. Woo.
Yeah.
That'd be wicked.
Yeah, I don't think we have to go too much farther down the list.
Top 10's good. Any honorable mentions?
Carson Lambos at number 15.
Yeah.
I think he played he Prince Albert?
Why does he stand out? He's a big guy.
Winnipeg Ice.
Winnipeg, okay. I know. I just remember he was a dub kid. He's playing in Sweden or Finland right now. He's just a name that I've heard for a while, and he's kind of one of those defensemen that was up there in like the top 5, top 10 area. And he's just dropped down to 15. My only other name I want to talk about is Atu Ratti.
Yeah, he was like
number one 2 years ago. He was projected the number one pick this year, and he's just the last year and a half, happened? Basically, he's tanked.
What happened?
I don't know. People are just not a big fan.
Is there speculation, or is his game just got holes, or is he like a partier? You got anything?
I don't think it's anything to do with him.
From what I've heard, it's just lack of development.
Okay, yeah, makes sense. Yeah.
Some of the shines just worn off. His game's just
flat. Okay.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Thank you. Okay, makes sense. Bummer. It'd be interesting to watch, though. Atu Ratti.
Yeah, Atu Ratti. It's a classic name. Let's see if there's any other names we can go down here.
Nikita Chabrikov? Sorry, I just wanted to get that out of there.
He sounds like a perfect guy to go like 22 overall to Columbus.
Oh, my. How do you say Columbus? How do you say 27, the Q kid? Zachary
Lehrnach.
It's so French, I don't even want to try.
Yeah, I have no idea.
No offense, I just can't do it. You know what's funny, though, man? I don't think anyone in this draft list comes even close to Powers' height. Dude, that kid is huge.
Like, Edmondson's okay. Pretty close.
I was going to say, once you get to the bottom, there's some... Oh, wait, sorry, who?
Edmondson, the guy tied second.
Oh, 6'4.5. Oh, yeah, you got me there.
Another D-man.
You're right. Dude, there's a lot of D up top. That's kind of different, no?
Yeah.
Yeah, this draft was huge on D.
I remember, like, when Ekblad was going first, they were saying, like, man, it's so rare to even see a couple D in the top five, let alone, like, someone go first. It's really rare. And so I was like...
Well, remember last year, during the draft time, I said that Ottawa should take two forwards with their number three and number five pick because they weren't going to have a good pick this year, and this was D-heavy. And that's exactly why. They should have taken... I don't say they should have taken Sanderson now, but there was definitely a reason not to take Sanderson if they liked like a Marco Rossi or anybody in that range, because the defense is so good at the top of the draft this year.
Yeah, well, could you imagine, like, say Ottawa gets the second or third pick and they have the opportunity to take Edvinson, and they took at five last year, they took Marco Rossi or
Holtz, Perfetti, Lundell.
Any of the fucking Lundell would be nuts.
Yeah.
Be nuts. Stutzel, Lundell, 1-2 center. Woo!
But yeah, Jake Sanderson would be a good pick, but...
Yeah, anyways, we don't need to go into that.
Yeah, we can move on.
I wanted to talk about... Just quickly wanted to bring this up, but I think this is the first time ever in history that the Florida Panthers, or the attendance in Florida, is tied for second overall.
Hey.
Really?
Also,
that's sick.
Every single Canadian team is tied for last, which is nuts.
That's, yep.
Makes sense, too.
Yeah.
Bunch of sticklers.
just a fun little stat there.
How many teams, is that total attendance or average attendance?
Average. I think.
It sounds like a lot of the states are opening up big, though.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I think there can't be that many left that don't have fans.
In the states, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean...
California, I think. I don't think California has any.
Some are opening... Like, I don't know about sports, but... Like, I know... Okay, I don't know about all sports, but I know that, like, some arenas are filling up for some shit, which is kind of crazy to think.
Oh, yeah, some baseball stadiums are getting full
capacity. I just mean, progressively, like, you gotta wonder if the NHL goes for, Stanley Cup Finals in Texas, full crowd kind of thing.
Yeah.
You gotta wonder. I mean, why wouldn't you? It's good for the sport, isn't it? Isn't it?
It would make sense.
There was a video posted.
Go ahead.
Of, like, the Blue Jackets sweeping the Lightning a couple years ago, and it was like just the goals from game four, and I was just watching. I was like, man, I miss full crowds in a hockey game.
Yeah, you know,
like,
what
it was so like I didn't even have the volume on and it was so electric, and I was like, dude, I miss this.
I don't think of being there as much anymore. I don't watch the game anymore and think of being there. I watch the game and I analyze the game and I like take note of things I like, but it's not like it used to be where, like, I would see things and, like, And I go, oh, fuck, if I was there, like, you know, or, like, if you know, the people there must be going crazy right now. Like, I don't really feel that anymore, and that's a little weird.
Man, and after...
Go ahead. I was just, some sports, I appreciate it, but it's not really like that in hockey. There's so much electricity, it's I miss it.
Man, like, after, like, the playoff bubbles and all the piped-in crowd noises and not really getting many fans this year and same kind of thing, the piped-in crowd noises for basically a year now, I forgot fans booed.
Same.
I was watching the Avs game, and there was like an offside or something. I heard boos, and I was like, oh, shit. That's a thing. Yeah. It was just such a weird sound to hear in my ears. It stunned me for a sec, to say the least.
Yeah, it's crazy what, like, the pumped-in crowd noise does to, like... Yeah. It's just all positive, and, yeah, I agree. I honestly cannot... wait for full crowds again. Like, it's something I'm like looking forward to so much. You see the guy, like, the player come in, like, score a fucking sweet goal and then jump into the boards, and the guys are like banging on the boards like, fuck yeah,
especially when it matters, playoffs, yeah. And shit, man, like how much we don't realize how much you miss it when that shit's back. Totally. If they do it big by the end, I wouldn't be mad at all. Especially if they waited. I would be so happy if they were just like, yo, finals, it's going down, wherever they have to do it, Las Vegas, wherever it can go down. If they go, we're just doing it here, fly in, if you want to see it, full crowd, whatever they do, you know what I mean? Whatever they can do, because it's different everywhere. And I got to say, like, yeah, sports everywhere are changing. Like, I don't know, I can't wait to see what happens, but I hope the crowds are full for the end. I can say that.
When you get the zoom into a guy who scored and the camera starts shaking because the building's so electric.
Yeah.
It's like, that's the good shit right there.
One I don't like is the camera on top of the boards right behind the net. That's absolutely just going. and like, people getting motion sickness at home.
Yeah.
Grandma's about to yak and you're just trying to fucking sell you the Golden Knights goal. Like, it's crazy. And like, you can't blame, in certain arenas, I swear to God, I think Anaheim's got the worst one, but there's like one or two that are fucking atrocious. Things just like whoppity whoppity. Anyway.
I was going to say, if they do decide to, like, bring crowds in for the finals, they got to do it somewhere neutral. Like, you can't have it in Vegas where, like, it's the Golden Knights playing somebody, right? So, obviously, wait and see until, like, whoever makes the finals, and then you pick your spot.
I only figured because, like, them, like, Tampa are one of the, like, first places doing full crowds and, like, totally supporting it. Main reason I jumped there, but that's a good point because they have a good chance to go into the finals, so... makes sense. But so does Tampa too, or, you know, Florida's right up there as well, so both of them. So who knows, it's interesting. And like, I don't even know if they said it now, I don't think it'd be as big of a deal later if they had a couple reasons and picked a place now, which I kind of wish they do, but then I don't know what their plan is. It might not be appropriate at the time. I don't know.
Who knows.
But it is exciting, and like, we gotta say, coming up fast, I believe it's gonna happen, which is kind of no matter what, it's gonna happen, which is sick.
Man, the Sens are 6-2 against the Flames this year.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah.
They only have 16 wins, 6 against the Flames.
My team will never look the same, that's for sure.
People fire will be sale shuffling in the offseason.
That's all right. I hope they keep Monahan, man.
Can't believe they gave Sutter 3 years instantly.
No, dude, I know. That's a 1 year deal for sure.
That's a rest of this season deal.
I'd say. Exactly.
You know what it is? It's an end of the Monahan. It's an end of everybody's years deal. That's what it is. It's a when all those guys expire. So even if they didn't get rid of Goudreau and all of them, like, they'd all be gone around that time anyway. So that's total reset.
Yeah, it makes sense.
It does make sense. It just hurts. It just hurts to say.
Fair enough. Let's talk about the Canucks, fellas.
Yeah, man. We touched on it last week, did we not? Or maybe 2 weeks ago we touched on it?
Just like how decimated they were. Yeah, it was two weeks ago.
2 weeks ago, yeah. They ended with 22 players testing positive, I believe.
Yeah.
And that doesn't include their families, which they've kind of revealed that a lot of guys, like wives and girlfriends and kids, tested positive. Like,
how would they not?
Exactly, that's the thing, right? Apparently, Bo Horvat celebrated his birthday in the basement, and his wife sent like videos of his kids wishing him happy birthday, and it literally like on the floor above him.
Yeah, that's so sad. And then, on a positive note, they played last night.
Well, yeah. Do you want to do like the JT Miller stuff as well?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Yeah,
so basically, like, it was, I think, around Monday or Tuesday last week, they announced that the Canucks would be playing on Friday of last week when there were still, I think, 19 guys on the COVID list. And it gave them one practice and one pregame skate before their first game after 20 guys are coming back with COVID.
Yeah.
And obviously some of the guys were not happy with that because, I mean, JT Miller, did he test positive? I think so. He just didn't have any symptoms, right? Yeah. And he kind of just like went to the media and kind of shredded the team about how like none of these guys are going to be ready for that kind of physical toll that you got to play. And then on top of that, the NHL scheduled 19 games in 30 days for them. And it was just, he was just talking about like, yeah, I don't think we'll be ready. Like, obviously he's a super competitive guy, so he's not saying like, I'm just going to throw in the towel because he doesn't want to play. He definitely wants to play, but it's just like, think about the guys that had symptoms and everything like that.
Yeah.
And he basically, yeah, he basically just caused a storm, and it caused the NHL and the ownership and the PA to kind of look at themselves and kind of rethink things over. And it worked out. They got everything moved to Sunday, which was an extra, basically an extra practice or maybe two. But it helped a lot of guys just get over those last couple of days just to get back into it. Cause like, if we think about it, if they're off for like 14 days, that doesn't mean everybody's testing positive on the first day, right? Like guys are testing positive on day 9 and 10. Like they're just dealing with it then. So to force them back on the ice is pretty brutal. But at least they got it. At least they got it moved. There's things coming out now that like the Canucks ownership and like general managers and head office didn't really back their players at all. They kind of just wanted to get it on the ice. So there's some good quotes from Bo Horvat kind of taking shots without taking shots at them, which was great. But yeah, they returned to play on Sunday night and played against the Leafs, who were a huge favorite. Like they were, it was probably the biggest favorite in betting terms this season, if not like top three. And the Canucks pulled out a huge gutsy 3-2 overtime win, and you could tell the boys were pumped after they won.
Man, like I just caught it all on Twitter. I didn't watch the game or anything, but like Twitter was electric for the Canucks. Like it doesn't really matter. Like it was going into overtime and there were about 7 tweets saying like, man, the Canucks don't even have to win tonight. But just the fact that they came back from 2-0 and are playing this well, like after everything they've gone through in the last 2 or 3 weeks, like it's a huge win for them. And they come out and they win it in overtime. Bo Horvat with a beauty of a goal for the overtime winner. Like, good for them, man. Like, That's exactly what they needed after all the adversity they faced this week, these last 2 weeks. Like, it's so good to see. And, I mean, who knows? It'll be tough. Like, that team, obviously, they're not in the playoffs. They probably won't make the playoffs. But just to be able to finish out the season and play hard for the rest of the season is good for them, man. Like,
So, just going back to, like, Horvat's quote-unquote shots at the ownership and anything. He was asked about JT Miller's comments. He said JT's comments were needed. It was really good for him to step up like that, and he had his teammates full support. All of us were thinking the exact same thing. And then he was basically asked about the support he got from the team, and this is where he kind of didn't mention the team at all, but he said the amount of support we got from our fans reaching out, our families, different players around the league was amazing. Didn't mention his team at all, or didn't mention like the organization at all. Just stuck to his teammates, the boys, people around the league, fans. And, Jim Benning. Doing work still. Even when his team's not playing.
Yeah. It doesn't all look bad, you know? It's a wicked story for the Canucks. And, like, that's the first time we've really seen COVID nail an NHL team like this, eh?
Like, this badly, I'd say.
Like, no one else has really been close, really.
Other than, like, Dallas at the very beginning of the season.
Oh, that's right. But where were they?
They had, like, 13, I think.
I was going to say about half the number like of players, yeah, roughly, which is still, like, still. But I'm just saying, like, this was detrimental. This was crazy. And at the end of the season, and forced to play more games, kind of many more, is pretty brutal. Yeah. Especially in the time restraint. It's turning into kind of a nice, we'll see. We'll see what happens, but it might turn into a nice story if they can keep these wins coming.
Well, and they're like, the season was supposed to end May 11th. I think it pushed back to May 12th a little bit ago to get all the postponed games in. But they have the Canucks playing the Flames 4 times after that. Like, the season's over May 12th, except for the Flames Canucks, who play like the 15th or 13th, 15th, 17th, and 19th or something like that.
Yeah.
So hopefully they either like start the playoffs, because most likely those teams won't be playing for a playoff spot at all. So hopefully they can get the playoffs going, like, yeah, May 15th or something, and just let them play, or just cancel the games.
Yeah, there's no point in them playing. Like, what, at that point, what's the point?
There's got to be a better way to do it. Like, it's not safe, and that's, yeah, I keep hearing that more, and it's, like, boggling the shit out of me that I keep hearing players say that I don't think it's safe, like, the schedule we have to finish the season. And it's mostly, I heard it from a Buffalo player and a couple players on Vancouver. But it's kind of funny to me, because, I mean, like, they're both teams were heavily affected at some point in the season with COVID. And, I mean, we've heard it over and over again how it's not, like, the effects are reoccurring for many people. They don't go away. They don't go away right away. It takes a while to get over it. We've heard tons of shit over and over. So it just makes me think, like, at least in this pandemic, I don't know, maybe there's a better way to, I don't know. I don't know how you do it. But it's kind of, I feel like it's kind of brutal making, like, the worst teams or teams that are heavily affected, like, but what do you do? I don't know. It's kind of fucked, though. Like, it's not easy to see a home team like this kind of go through this.
Especially, the players are so easy to root for. Like, this team is, like, we shit on them a lot.
Thank you.
But, like, these dudes are good dudes.
Yeah.
Like, they have some of, like Bo Horvat is, like,
yeah, a man's material man. Kind of thing. Yeah. Yeah.
As is, like, a number of these guys on the team. And it's just, like, so to end their season, they play... So the last game in either the East or the Central Division is May 11th. There's one game in the the West, May 12th. Everything else is the Canadian teams. So the Canucks play the 11th, 13th, 15th, 16th, have one day off, 18th, 19th. That's how they finish their season. Like, is it really necessary to give them 5 games in 7 days to end a season?
No, especially if they're not in the playoffs.
No.
Yeah.
You know, one thing I was worried about when the pandemic started to interrupt, when it came around, was I was wondering if or how many players were just gonna want to be done with, like, the sport, with professional sports. I was wondering if the effect would happen right away, if we'd see people drop off, or if I'd see it in, like, a year or two, if they wouldn't want the risk, or if I'd just see, like, you know, and I just feel like some of these circumstances. I'd hate to see it. I'd hate to see it down the road, because it's something I thought of ever since all this started. It's been one of my biggest worries. Like, if I saw it with big names or in big numbers, as a sports fan, like, it'd be brutal to me. I remember when sports was canceled for like a half a month, and I was ruined. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, well, I was just gonna say, like, you've already seen. I think the biggest impact player that in the NHL, anyways, is Matt Niskanen of the Flyers. Massive piece to that team when he was there. Played a very big role defensively, and he just decided to call it quits because he couldn't take it.
Mm-hmm. I don't understand completely, man. Especially being an older player, but especially if I got my money, I could see it being a younger player too. Like, the game's changing a lot. The world's changing a lot. If you got your money, you got to think. Maybe you're thinking about other stuff too. Yeah, I don't know. So I don't know. It worries me, and I don't think that this makes it any easier for people. Like, I don't want this game to fall apart or to lose any great talent, because we got so much, right? Like, the NHL is at a time where it's expanding, and the young talent is so good. It would fucking ruin me to see a bunch of people leave or something. And I could see it. So I hope they're easy on these teams and they can make it as easy as they can, because it's something that worries me. So I'm getting that.
Oh, I think, like, I could be wrong, because there was a few teams that had outbreaks and stuff like that. But I would I would put money that a lot of players around the league and a lot of people around the league kind of saw this Vancouver situation, and like that's when it fully clicked in their head, like this could happen to any team, and like this could happen to our team, and we could just be decimated. Like this could just come in and sweep us in a day and a half, and it just sits out 25 guys. Like I think that really, really opened up a bunch of dudes' eyes, because there was even Canucks from like quotes from the Canucks guys, obviously anonymous because hockey culture, you don't want to sound like a wimp, but talking about like how this was the first time they like really contemplating kind of what do they call it when they like stepping out for the season, opting out of the season kind of thing.
Yeah, well, also like thinking about the bubble last year and how all that played out, you look at Tuukka Rask, like Family Guy. And most of the older guys do have families, right? They have kids, they have like wives that they want to go home to, they want to see all the time. Like they don't want to just miss the year of their kid's life. Like, so yeah, you see him opt out and like fucking got shit for it. So it must be so hard. Like it would be such a hard decision, especially if you're a big role to a team. It wouldn't be too bad if you were like a fringe player, or like a third or fourth line guy. But when you're the fucking starting goalie, like what the fuck, man? Like what do you expect? Like what, like, you know, like the guys can only take so much, and when you got a family and when you got like people you want to go home and see every day, like you can't be locking these guys in a bubble for 2 months at a time. That's like, it's not exactly fair.
Sorry, I'm glad you brought that up. When Nick Foligno, good old Foligno, when he got traded, you see that blurb he posted about how he's gonna leave his family? He's like, kind of like, it was like a post with him and his kids, like, at the back of his car, putting all his shit in the trunk, kind of saying how he's not going to see him until it's all over. And it kind of made me think, that was the first time I was like, wow, like, everyone who just got traded at this deadline. Like, the cool thing about these bubbles that we got going right now is, like, everyone can stay with their families through all this shit. It's kind of one of the main points of it all. So it's brutal to think, man, if you got traded and all that, you kind of just, like, bite the bullet and ride out. Like, ride it out over there with your team. And I thought that was kind of powerful. Like, especially a guy like that. Like, clearly, you're, like, you're going for the fucking cup, and you're going with this team, and you're leaving your family. And it's quite a while. So it just made me think, like, I don't know. And clearly, this guy's a family man. So that kind of was one of the eye-openers for me. All these guys, Hall, everybody's leaving everywhere. So,
yeah, you start thinking about, like, the personal side of, like, the deadline and stuff. And it
this year, especially.
Yeah, especially this year. And wow. it all just sinks in, and it's... They definitely don't just give up nothing to play.
I feel like times right now, your close friends, like everyone's realized this now in this past year. Your close friends and your family, like, are everything, and they're like they're what you have, and I don't think anyone's ever been more thankful than like through all this to have them, and I've never been more close. So yeah, to leave all that for work, and especially in all this gong show of a life we got going on, like. It's crazy. I think it's crazy. So to go to any team, especially a contender, but any team, and to leave your family is nuts right now. So, yeah, kudos to these guys because they're going through a lot, and they're clearly on a mission. If you leave your family with like, Stanley Cup in your eyes right now, like, you're fucking on a mission. I think we'll see it.
Bingo.
Yeah.
We are with Hall. We can get to that.
Great segue. Let's go.
Taylor Give Hall, it to us, Ty. Taylor Hall, lighting it up. I can't tell you right off the top. I don't have it open right here, but I'm pretty sure first three games he had two goals. I think it took him three games to get to the same amount of goals he had with the Sabres in 32 or so. So yeah, I mean, right there. And I mean, I think I read a quote from Pastrnak today that said, "If you had one word to define the skill of Taylor Hall, what would you say?" And he'd say, "Unbelievable." Which I thought was a little corny, but that was the quote I read today. So clearly, sounds and looks like they're working. They're working well together.
I mean,
yeah, man. Yeah. Go ahead.
I was just gonna say, like, it was pretty obvious that 2.5% shooting percentage wasn't gonna be sustained, and he was very unlucky. And I mean, just an extra little kick in the behind, and goals start coming. Like, he was not gonna be a perennial, like, he didn't just forget how to score goals. He wasn't going to be a perennial three goal guy for the season.
Yeah, that's true. And going to a team like Boston where he doesn't have to be the number one guy is so important.
Yeah,
and, and his confidence right now, like when he's down on himself and not scoring, you need to step back and not be in the spotlight. And that's exactly
when
what
you're
got
pumped
in Boston.
Which, pardon me, when you're pumped on a team where goal, like winning and goal scoring is like comes every night, the game is played a certain way, and everybody's on the same page. Like it's completely like Buffalo's got to just be the worst mentality team in the league, and you're going to one of the top three. Like this team is designed, and like it's the past 10 years has just been winning, and the team that they built wins, and the power play that they built works. Like, yeah, it's completely backwards from how it was in Buffalo. So it's gonna be good for him here, man. And like it's great to see him pop off at the start because, fuck, man, for this guy to win the Hart, and to, he's got to do well, man. He should have been doing well this year. To start, so it's great to see him doing well now.
And I remember, I saw him in person in the AHL.
Yeah?
Yeah. Where? His one season in the AHL, because that was during the lockout. I think Tay was
I was
me.
There.
Yeah.
No way. No way.
Nuge, Eberle, and Hall. Taylor Hall were all in the AHL because of the lockout.
Yeah. We watched it against the Abbotsford Heat. I'm assuming. Yeah.
That was great. Good times,
his
man.
His only time he played in the AHL.
Yeah.
Probably was the most fun he had.
Probably. He was lighting it up.
I want to touch on another trade deadline piece that is doing quite well with this new team. Anthony Mantha. He's got 4 goals in 4 straight games with the Washington Capitals. He has not played a game with the Caps where he hasn't scored. He scored in every single one. So he must be loving it.
Oh, man. Probably. Imagine, I mean, he's kind of the exact same as Taylor Hall, but things were going well for him before.
I was gonna say.
And he's just kind of like, he's just nuts.
Just like leaving Buffalo, but you were already like carrying the team.
Exactly, yeah.
I don't know. I don't know, man. Good for him. It's one of those players, like, who didn't you always want? He's one of those guys you always want to leave or at least do well somewhere. So,
yeah.
To see him go to Washington, like, almost kind of, especially for so much, like, made me nervous because I love him and I want him to do well and not live up to that because that's a lot to kind of live up to a little bit in that trade itself, but yeah, great start for the guy. We've seen what he does. Like there shouldn't be much question, but you never know these days.
I remember
wicked.
I remember like talking about him when he was in the queue still, because like how many goals he was putting up. Like he put up was it his draft year or the year after his draft? His draft year, he put up 50 goals in 67 games. And I was like, okay, this kid like can shoot a puck. Yeah. And then his following year, 57 goals in 57 games. And I was like, okay, how the hell is he ever like keep up this? I remember his stock just like flying to the ceiling. And then I like remember talking to people like they should just trade him. Like his stock will never be higher. Like especially because he went to the AHL the next year and like he had a pretty good AHL year, but not like this kid's going to be a superstar AHL season. And now it's just like he's kind of like realized it, and he's a hell of a player. So it all panned out. But yeah, I remember talking about him, and it was like 2013, 2014, 2015, somewhere in that area.
Yeah, he was the talk of the draft for sure.
Yeah.
Did you see his first goal as a Cap?
Oh.
I think
I did.
Oh
I
man,
I'm pretty sure I commented on a post
YouTube.
On Twitter about it. And
so
they showed like a slow motion version of his shot, and it still looked like a missile.
Yeah, it was.
And I was like, oh my god, okay.
Him and Backstrom entered the zone together, and Backstrom just like feathered a pass to him like in the slot basically, and he's a lefty, so he like faked a shot and then like kind of took an extra step and then ripped it high glove on the goalie, and oh man, like the puck. Like, immediately from his stick to the top corner, like, there was no path at all. It just was in the net already. And like, fuck, it was so nice. So nice.
Well, speaking of Washington, Nick Backstrom, another milestone. 1,000 games played. All as a Cap.
Getting the Rolex. Oh, even better.
Yeah, all as a Capital. I mean, I don't know what else to say about him. He's a star. He always has been a star.
Yep.
Well, it's nice to. It's crazy that. Ooh, voice crack. Ooh. It's nice that. It's nice that. Keep that in. It's nice that. that he's one of the only guys that stayed there with Obi like the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
That's got to be special considering they're one cup and like how many times they had to try to conquer Pittsburgh and when they finally could and how it was more of a team effort than it was Ovechkin by that point. And yeah, I think that it's something to be proud of. And he's always been huge. He's been huge on faceoffs, huge team player. Obviously, it's got to be good for development on that team. Yeah, I don't know. Good for him, dude. 1,000 games on just that team there, it's a real accolade because they built it ground up for it to the cup. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, like, I think he is probably one of the most underappreciated players in the NHL.
Absolutely.
Because of who he's playing with in Ovechkin, who literally steals the spotlight night in and night out. So Backstrom just plays behind him. And, he is crazy fun to watch. His playmaking skill is unbelievable. And, on any other team, like, maybe not Pittsburgh because of Sid, but I would say you put him on any other team, and he is by far their best player. Thoughts?
Yeah.
Mike's zoned out as fuck. What are you watching, like, buddy?
No, nothing. I was just going through Caps Twitter.
Fair.
Yeah, he's definitely up there. Like, I mean, Ovechkin has some of these goals because of Backstrom's finds.
Yeah, totally. Like you got to have the elite playmaker to get you the goals. Or exactly. Get you the puck to score the goals, right?
It's just got to say so much about him that he's there. Like, you got to, like, think of all the fucking names that came and went in that franchise in Ovechkin's timeline. And Backstrom, too. And that he stayed there the whole time, to me, is, like, insane. There were some nutty names that came and went there. But those two stayed the whole time. I don't know how long it took, but that was a long road to that Stanley Cup, too. Like, I remember when they were getting there, and other than Ovechkin looking the way he looked, like, leading up to the end, the whole way. Like, I think it was Kuznetsov scored the goal to eliminate the Penguins. And his reaction said it all, and Backstrom too, and they went right to each other. And when they won, they went right to each other. So I didn't realize it until I watched it in the cup final there, but those guys have been on a fucking journey. So, yeah, 1,000 games there, that's huge. That's all I want to say.
Quickly, in comparison, who's the better duo, Sid and Malkin or Ovechkin and Backstrom?
Sid and Malkin.
I think Sid and Malkin, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's just how good they both were, even on their own and together. But like on their own, it's fucked on its own, both of them. I think Backstrom was a little under, but at the same time, 1,000 games in one place.
It's crazy because like,
them, fuck.
Yeah, like Sid and Backstrom are the playmakers, right? And then Ovi and Malkin. Malkin's more of a playmaker than he's both, but like obviously more of a goal scorer than Sid. So, it's just, it's interesting to see, like, dynamic duo who, like, both have their special talents, you know? One can put the puck in the net, one can make a nice pass.
100%.
Yeah, definitely made for each other, that's for sure.
Yeah.
And he was the 69th player in NHL history to play 1,000 games with one team, so, nice.
Wow.
How many players?
69th player.
69th!
To play 1,000 games with one team.
What a fucking stud.
Nice.
I like that.
14th active player.
Oh. 14. Yo, okay, let's... We had Crosby. We just talked about Crosby somewhere in there. Dude, the stick apple. The stick apple.
Yeah. The trainer.
So that was a good one. So was the one from Marner a few years ago, but that one was like clean. Like that was
Crosby was flying too. Like he knew it was coming. He
fucking
right? Yeah.
Oh yeah. If that's not ready for Sid,
he's giving it to
done.
That guy.
You're done. Yeah, probably, you're probably not done, but you're not getting paid the same you're getting paid before.
Yeah, you're
not. Oh man, it kind of killed me. And you know what? Sorry, I was gonna say these two players. I don't know if it's happened before because I haven't seen other highlights of stuff of those stick-handed goals, But these two, these both these players, both just turn. One's an apple and one's a Marner and Crosby. One's an apple, one's a goal scorer. But they both turn right away and give the fucking heads up to the... And you know what? Neither of the trainers barely make a move. I think one barely cracks a smile. The other one's like all business. A couple of young guys. I don't know. I love it. I thought it was so funny.
Yeah, if that stick's not ready, there's no money on the board for the next, like, 2 months.
No. Yeah,
100%. Yeah.
You can keep your job, but you're working for free for
Yeah.
You're paying for your own flights, bud.
A couple games sitting up with the GM or something, you know.
Yeah.
Love too, after they score, the entire bench just like
mauled the guy. Yeah, absolutely, dude.
It's great.
Not to mention, I mean, they continue their run. They continue their run. The Penguins. They're killing it still. Lost for the last one, but 6-3-1. And stay right up there with Caps and Islanders. I don't know, I'm liking the Penguins. I'm extremely surprised with them. Like, extremely.
I'm excited for playoffs and playoff predictions.
Me too. Fuck, it's gonna be a blast. Yeah, gonna nail them. You know Ty's gonna do his research and fucking
There's only 10 games left, basically, for most teams. 10,
I know. 11, we're
12. We're there. Like, we're almost there.
We knew this season was going to fly by. We said it a bunch at the start of the season in the early podcast, but wow, did it ever fly by, dude. Like,
because usually this is like the end of like the kind of like the dead season. Like, this is like the end of February, and it's like, okay, now we're going to start like gearing up for some playoff pushes. And, you know, it's hard to watch some games at like the end of December to middle of February, where you're just sitting there like, yeah, okay, it's game 43, another 2 points, but like, it's over now, like 10 games left. There's only a couple playoff races that are for like actual playoff spots. There's a lot of good divisional races, but nothing really for like the four or fives, except for two divisions. But
yeah,
I thought it was a sweet trade deadline. So many people just got like, the buyers and sellers were so highlighted and like obvious that everyone knew who to call and where to go, and a lot of people in trade bait moved, a lot of key pieces. It's a lot of big teams. I think as part of this short season, I'm fired up. Even this off season is gonna be sweet, but yeah, the playoffs are gonna be awesome. This off season is
gonna be
insane, man.
Seattle coming in is gonna be nutty. Oh, yeah.
When's that draft? Have we?
21st of July.
We said that the last
every like podcast.
What is that happening?
Whoops.
Right on your calendar, Ty.
Yikes. Yeah. Yikes. Oh, exciting, nonetheless.
There's also two other guys that crossed the 1,000 games threshold this. Well, one last week, one other one this week. But Jordan Staal, I think he did it about 10 days ago now. We didn't really talk about it because we did the trade deadline show, but congrats to Stalzy, 1,000 games, now the captain of Carolina. Just, I think, like, ever since he entered the league as, like, the third center in Pittsburgh, everybody knew he was kind of going to be, like, a captain material kind of guy.
Yeah,
like, a perfect two-way, reliable guy in every facet of hockey.
Yeah, just the workhorse.
Yeah,
the
exactly.
The workhorse of the team.
All situations kind of guy.
Good for him, man. Like, that's awesome. And it's great, too, like... obviously, he was never going to be the captain in Pittsburgh with Sid there. So it's great to see him go to a team like Carolina, where like his name is so huge with Eric playing there, and get to make like that big impact. You know, I love it.
Yeah, and it's great when some of these guys play like their 1,000th game, because it's kind of like, oh yeah, they like these guys have been in the league for a long time. They kind of get the recognition they deserve after all this time. Because I mean, Jordan Staal is not a crazy dude. He's got basically 560. Career points, so it's not like a name that you'll be seeing every day, but he plays big defensive minutes and just a super reliable guy. But yeah, 1,000 games with the Pens and the Hurricanes, and yeah, big congrats to him too.
Yeah, right on.
And then the last dude, Milan Lucic, I think his 1,000th game was tonight.
I thought it was yesterday, maybe, but pretty sure he chucked Knox.
Oh, right, yeah, it was it was his first home game tonight after the 1,000. So they're all wearing the 17s, that's why. I was going to say, it seemed a little weird. But yeah, Lucic hit it earlier this week, and yeah.
Friday?
Almost got a Gordie Howe. I think it was Tuesday or Wednesday, I think.
Who did they play? The Leafs or the Canadiens?
The Canadians, I believe.
Canadians that There's... night, I think, yeah.
Yeah.
I think they're pretty much eliminated, eh? Pretty much fucked.
The Flames?
Like they were already, but I'm pretty much, I think it came down to recent games, like, to pretty much be eliminated, no?
6 points out?
Yeah, their series against Montreal was huge.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I can't remember how they did, but.
Yeah, 6 out, 11 games to go. Montreal's got 2 in hand on them. And I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing for Calgary, but they don't really have any more games against Ottawa left, so.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, well, it's they're 6-2, so it's a good thing.
Yeah.
This is going to be the absolute Harlem Shake of the Calgary Flames fucking offseason. They're just going to fucking saucer, but it's going to be so different next year.
There's a blast of the past fucking 7 years ago. Skin,
do the Harlem Shake. Yo, let's talk about Toronto. Sorry. Can you stack our pots? I call upon you to bring up the fucking power play stats for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Oh, coming right up, dude.
Aren't they absolute shiitake mushrooms, or is it only the recent games? Hit me.
The garbage. The last 20 games as of a couple of days ago, so it's probably changed a little bit. But 2-47.
Ooh,
not ideal.
That hurts to hear.
I'm not too sure if they scored any against the Canucks. Let's take a look here. Quick live stats. Power play 1-4. Okay, so 3-47.
Stepping it up.
Stepping
it up in Toronto. I don't know. Like, there's still something to be excited about. However, something ain't right in TO. Something ain't right in the six, you know? Like, you can just kind of tell. Losing 4 straight here. Your power play is absolute garbage, and that's not going to get you a Stanley Cup, in my opinion.
3-51, I think. What did I say?
Thoughts for concern? Something about 47? 3-47? Okay, yeah,
it was 2-47 before, so 3-51.
Okay.
So Rufflin at just under 6% in their last 21 games.
Not really sure what they're going to do, but they don't really look good right now. It's going to be my main point. Like, it's looking like a bit of a drop-off. Like, this is kind of the playoff frustration usually, isn't it? Sorry to interrupt, just kind of like once they get there, it's usually like the team looks great, the confidence is there, the the goaltending's not bad, they can do it, and then I think it's usually the power play, or like, I mean, I remember that 1 year with Boston, holy fuck, but I guess playing their team was a brutal one, but I don't know, man, like, there's always a piece of their game missing. I think it's a no-brainer if your power play is bad. Sorry, go ahead, Zay, you got something to say.
Oh, that's okay. I was just going to say, Austin Matthews' last goal was Monday last week.
See, weird. There's just a drop off. See, great point. Great point. So, how much concern is this warrant for? It's kind of where I'm at, because like it worries me. Like it would anyone. Like, but what can you do, right?
Sorry, I don't think it's that worrisome. I think it's just a lot of the first half of the season, or like 40 games, basically. They were scoring way more than they were expected to score. So I think it's just coming down to the average and kind of just, this is kind of where they've all hit everything, and it's just rounding them back out to average and kind of just bringing them back down to earth a little bit. And I don't think it's crazy cause for concern.
I'm sorry. I made a mistake. Austin Matthews scored last night against the Canucks.
Oh, well, whatever. I mean,
he still basically went a week without a game.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. Still.
For the leading scorer in the NHL to go a week without a goal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I don't think that it's too much cause for concern. I think you're allowed to be off and then you find your game again. Tampa went like a week where they lost like two, three pretty shitty teams, so you know, it'll happen.
They actually didn't really play any games this week, the Leafs.
Yeah, they played, what, like 3 or 4?
3 games, yeah. So you went 2 games without a goal. Still.
I just brought up Tampa strategically because I wanted to talk about Steven Stamkos.
Nailed it. Hey, that was a great post, by the way, this week about
the injured
players. I thought that was a great question. Good one.
Oh, yeah.
I like that a lot. And you know what? Yeah, on straight up, my second was straight up Stammer. Like, as soon as I said it, and then I was like, I said Bobby Orr, and then I was like, man, Stammer, like, always, I always think of Stammer when I think of injuries. Like, and I, yeah. I mean, you just gotta love him. That guy is like, is just heart. Like, he just wears his heart. Honestly, he's a beauty.
Yeah. Well, and like, to think that he at one point scored 60 goals in a season. Like, who knows what he could have done if he didn't break his leg.
Growing up,
he
was a legend growing up. When he was young, he was a legend for me. Like, he was one of those young players you thought was going to be a goal scoring. It was him and Stammer. Him and Stammer in the office. Or sorry, fuck. Him and Ovi, I'm sorry. Yeah. In the office was just a sight. And you were always like, him being so young, you're like, who's going to be better at it? And with all the injuries, it was too bad. But he never lost his touch. And it looks like he was able to pass it to Cooch, or Cooch had it too, but... Yeah, what he does is amazing. So God bless Stammer. Wish he was never injured, for sure.
Agreed. We had somebody, Liam, one of our friends, Liam. We all know Liam, but he said Mario Lemieux. I think that's a great pick.
Oh, great guess, too. Great
pick. Yeah, or not like, guess, but yeah, great pick.
potentially could have gone down as like the great one himself if he didn't miss time, so... who knows? It's tough to say. He literally came back from cancer one year and like led the league by like 50 points. So it's nuts.
Arguably the best hockey player ever.
Yeah, definitely. I would say he's my best player ever.
Sorry, yeah, Gretz.
It's pretty close. It's Wayne hard Gretz to compare like those guys compared to like McDavid nowadays.
Yeah, it's
true. The generational gap in any sport is kind of too much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not really right, too.
We just cursed ourselves, and Gretzky will never come on this podcast, but
he's the great one. He's the greatest NHL player ever. I think that's
Gretz.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like, hockey player can be a little different.
Yeah.
Fair.
I think with the records he broke, I think it's pretty safe to say.
Yeah.
But let's take a look.
See. What else do we got here?
I have something quick out of the WHL.
Ooh. Yeah.
I was on Twitter this week. I don't know if you guys follow Sam Stern on Twitter. He's a diehard Rangers fan. And I've been back and forth bantering with him. It's kind of fun.
Oh, Ty does that for sure. Big Rangers guy.
Yeah.
What, the recent winning streak? Sorry, hit it. I missed that.
Oh, he tweeted about the Royals, the Victoria Royals, the WHL team here.
No way.
Yeah. Forward in the first round of the Bantam draft.
So I'm so sorry.
We lost you for a sec there.
Yeah. I'm so sorry. Can you repeat that? We missed it. Sorry.
The Royals, the Victoria Royals, have not drafted a forward in the first round of the Bantam draft since 2015.
Oh, 6 years. God.
Like, that's nuts. Obviously, like, turnover in the WHL is a lot quicker than the NHL, obviously, for reasons that, like, you're only eligible to play till you're 20 year, right? So it's tough, man. Like, I replied to him and said, like, yeah, you know what? Like, it's rough and it's not much fun to watch. You want the high flying forwards early in that draft, and yeah, it's just, I thought it was a wild stat to touch on.
Yeah. Well, speaking of high-flying forwards out of the WHL, my boy Trevor Wong.
Yeah.
Absolutely popped off a couple nights ago. 4 goals. Hey, let me just look out for him in 2022. He's going to be a star.
Yeah.
Who's that, sorry?
Trevor Wong. Trevor Wong. He's a rocket.
Dude.
They whooped the Royals tonight, eh? 6-2.
Yeah, man, the Royals are not good this year.
They lost Lowry.
Have they ever been that good?
Like, Lowry good. Made them sick.
Joe Hicketts and stuff.
Jumbo Joe Jr.
That was like, what, 2016?
Yeah, well.
It's 5 years ago.
That's ever.
Yeah, but every time they get a good player too, they're gone and like not like they're every time they get a good player, they're just gone. They're always on like another NHL team like, I mean, instantly.
They have first round Anaheim Ducks pick Braden Tracy right now. But
he's like, their only like high NHL draft pick ever that's ever been on their team.
Yeah, I was gonna say that's the first like first round pick that they've ever had.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're not that old, though, but yeah.
Oh, shit. Nolan Foote made his NHL debut. Forgot about that.
Oh, yeah, right, right.
Congrats to him.
Another Kelowna Rocket.
Yeah, that's what made me think of it.
Yeah.
Also, just reading a tweet from the Florida Panthers. It looks like Spencer Knight's got the crease tomorrow night against Columbus.
No way.
Ooh, that'll be exciting. Let's go.
Yeah, he dressed tonight for his first ever dressed game in the NHL. So good for him. And it looks like, yeah, he'll get the crease. So I'm definitely tuned into that one.
So the highest drafted Victoria Royal, Keegan Kanzig, 67th overall.
Yeah.
Really? And
then Scott Walford, 68th overall.
Yeah, fair enough.
And then Stephen Hodges is the only other one that
literally drafted for the size.
First top 100. He's the only. Those are the only three.
Yeah.
But yeah.
You got anything else, Mike? I got one more thing.
Yeah.
I got one more thing. We wanted to save this for the pod, but Igor Larionov the second. So, you know Igor Larionov as like the tremendous Russian player.
Played for five.
Detroit. Yeah, big Russian five in Detroit in what, like the 70s?
90s.
Whatever. same thing. It's a generation before me. Anyways, sorry for the disrespect. His son, who's playing in the KHL right now, had a hot take on Twitter, and I wanted to talk about it.
Yeah, so basically, I don't think Ty really knows this either. So he was kind of talking about how hockey in general, or more specifically the NHL, AHL, and ECHL, they should do it more like soccer or football over in Europe, where it's three individual leagues, and the lowest team in, say, the NHL gets relegated to the AHL. Top three teams in the AHL get promoted to the NHL. Because his reasons, and to quote his tweets, he said, the NHL should regulate the three worst teams in the AHL every year. The AHL, ECHL are dead ends for the majority of the players. They don't get many shots. In Europe, due to the promotion relegation system, so many stars come from lower leagues. Imagine the ECHL's top scorer getting signed by an AHL team attempting promotion. In 3 years, you're in the NHL. He also went on to say there wouldn't be as many bad teams. You're rewarded for fielding a terrible team. Why stop with a three league system? You can get so many small markets that can grow to become a big club, just like Leicester City. He said for soccer, it's the American dream, a chance to go from nothing to the top, which is equal to growth. And then he went on to give a more specific example. He said, imagine a team like the San Diego Gulls getting promoted, a destination that would attract tons of good players. I bet a Russian or a foreign billionaire would invest so much in making them into a huge brand. Same way, I'm going to sewer this name, Sheikh Mansour, investing in Man City. Now they're worldwide.
Wow.
So, yeah, basically he's going on. It's a little bit more complicated than soccer because obviously the AHL and NHL and AHL and the ECHL have like affiliations, so they have like their own players playing for them.
Uh-huh.
But I mean, over time you can develop it, or you can figure out a way somehow to kind of move away from that in due time. It's nothing that you can do right now because it's just not set up to be functioning like that.
Yeah.
But he brings up a lot of good points, like teams that are like cities that have ECHL teams, they're obviously going to have like some devoted fans.
Yeah.
But it's not going to be like a crazy, crazy atmosphere because they're just going to stay in the ECHL. But like, what if your team is like, they're an unreal ECHL team. So then like next year they're in the AHL. Like that's just going to cause so much more hype, so much more buzz. And it was a great thing with like San Diego, like another California team that can attract so many good players. You see guys wanting to go sign in LA. LA is not good, but you see them signing in LA because it's fucking Los Angeles.
It's LA. Yeah.
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 And yeah, he makes some good points. Like players have the chance of becoming bigger names, and I like it. Obviously, you'd have to get rid of the draft format, I think, as well. I'm not entirely sure how soccer does it. I'm not too familiar with, like, the Premier League and all those leagues, but
yeah,
it's a really cool concept.
No,
go ahead, Ty.
Absolutely. Just, I agree. It's a little out there, but, like, it's intriguing, for no doubt.
I like it in the sense that, like, it brings... I feel like it would bring more attention to the sport, like, having teams relegated and, like, you're watching... Like, you're paying attention to each league, right? Whether, like, it's the AHL team that graduates or the ECHL team that graduates to the next... to the next league, or like maybe your favorite NHL team is relegated and now they're in the AHL team or the AHL league. But yeah, like it kind of disrupts the flow of like what the NHL's got going on now. Like it would be a major, obviously, change. And like the draft, like the teams couldn't hold rights. Like it at what point do like the player pools, like how do you work that all out? Like that's what you would have to figure out, and it's super interesting.
Yeah, there'd be a huge overhaul that's that needs a big to happen. Yeah, huge overhaul. But there's like I think they're even, because once again I don't know anything about, I know how soccer's played. I have no idea what the intricacies of their leagues and everything. But I think they like loan their younger kids to play in like an quote unquote AHL, and they loan them to like AHL teams, and then when they're ready they can come up to their own team.
Right.
So they like loan them to a second tier team.
Yeah. So then the second tier team has good players, but then as soon as like, if say a second tier team was to graduate into the top league with loaned players, would the good team in the top league not just take the loaned players?
Oh, they would. Usually the loans only last for that season. So.
Right. So if one team. Say there's a young superstar who goes and is loaned to a team in the second tier. They all of a sudden graduate, team is relegated. They make that. Then they go into the top league and shit the bed because their loaned superstar isn't on the team anymore. Like, that's iffy. Like, I don't think you can be loaning players. Like, if you're going to do it this way, you can't be loaning players like that. Especially in hockey, because a player, like, look at fucking Kirill Kaprizov. Like, that player is electric. That player is dynamic. He changes the Minnesota Wild.
Well, we see it.
Not have him
loaned
to an AHL team, and then all of a sudden come in and just, like, all of a sudden you're on a different team in the NHL.
Yeah, we see it, like, not in terms of, like, loans, but, like, in WAJCs when, like, a team like Kazakhstan gets promoted because they had, or let's take a more realistic thing, like, when Switzerland got promoted because they had Nick Ehlers and all those kind of guys, and then they leave because they got too old, and then they're like, oh, these guys aren't that great anymore.
Yeah.
Same kind of thing, but...
It's a little, like, yeah, I get it, and it makes sense because, like, you can't, like, you get, like, the one-off superstar or the one-off or two-off guys that are, like, really good at the time. But at the same time, like... That's a 2-week tournament that, like, yeah, it counts and it matters, but like there's no like, yeah.
But how? I got a question for you. I'm not.
The rights to the players are pretty, okay.
I'm not disagreeing with you, but if a player is getting loaned, how good and like how impactful are they really? If they're still not like obviously the Wild, using your example, would never loan out Kaprizov because he's unbelievable. So like.
Right.
How much impact can one of these loaned players have that they wouldn't be realized on their own team? Like, how crazy of an impact would it cause them that if they were to then leave the following season to be in the NHL? Like, how much could they really be losing?
I got, like, a very good example for you. The Tampa Bay Lightning. They have 4 players in the last 2 years that... have been in and out of the AHL, NHL lineup, like back and forth, in Matthew Joseph, Ross Colton, Carter Verhaeghe, and Alex Barré-Boulet. Those 4 guys could play in the top 6 anywhere, I would say, at this point. Like, they're a top 6 forward. Tampa has been playing them back and forth in the AHL. Matthew Joseph, his rookie year was unreal. Last year, they demoted him on purpose so that he wouldn't sign a massive contract because they couldn't afford to pay him. all four of those players would be loaned and make an impact on a younger team or like an AHL team, I think. And then come up and, and like would play for Tampa the next year or play for an NHL team the next year. But yeah, I think like, obviously it's not necessarily superstars that you know are superstars at this point, but it's younger players that you have the rights to who go down and play against competition and light it up unexpectedly.
Definitely. But I was also thinking, like, if they do this system, there's no more draft. So there's no more, like, crazy amount of prospects that you're going to have.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that makes sense.
The loaning, I would assume, would be pretty few and far between because it'd be a, yeah. We can't even, I don't think we can even, like, comprehend, like, how much it would change.
And, no, like, exactly.
That would be going on to kind of take on this venture. But, like, I saw one of the comments was, like, well, what happens if Edmonton shits the bed one year and they get relegated? Like, how is it really good for the game if McDavid and Draisaitl are playing in the AHL or like the second tier? Because it's no longer the AHL that we know, right? It's just like a Div 2 of an NHL. Yeah. And his reply was like, I can't remember. I don't think it was Tottenham. One of these big teams just got relegated with like 15 guys who are more famous than McDavid.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I mean, I think it's cool for like a player's perspective because they can sign an AHL deal with like a top team they think is going to be promoted. And it just provides so much possibility for players. And I think it would grow the game a lot because of newfound interests. I just don't know about like stadium wise because there's a lot of AHL teams that are playing in like not the greatest stadiums. And then the ECHL is like even worse. So like if an ECHL like somehow powerhouse got to the NHL and you're playing in a barn of 800 people and there's like NHL teams, like you're going against the Canadians, they got 20K in their barn. That would be kind of funny, but maybe they do that and they end up getting a brand new arena because they've got so much money and stuff.
True. Yeah. Can we talk about the uproar that would happen if like an original six team was relegated?
Oh, it'd be great. The Leafs.
It'd be nuts. Yeah.
So fucked, man. That's what I thought of right away. I was like, man, some fans would not take that sitting down. Like,
yeah, agreed. Like,
some fans would not. Toronto's number one.
I feel like
Chicago,
be a huge...
Boston, they'd be fucking losing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there's this new thing in soccer, in Europe, that they've created like this Super League, and it's like,
yo, I was just gonna mention that 'cause you guys were talking about it, the 12 teams that came together.
Yeah, 12 or 15, whatever it was.
Yeah, 12 the top teams in Europe coming together for this league that they all agreed to. Go ahead though.
That's no, I haven't seen a single person that likes it. Apparently, everybody's saying it's devastating to the game of football.
I don't know.
Apparently it's just like the richest teams just wanting to get richer and not have any chance of losing anything, and
that's too bad.
Yeah, it's
which
makes sense,
much,
like,
but...
right, like all those teams that are on the way up and like trying to make it up and they just kind of get kicked out of this potential league. It's kind of like if it was the exact opposite, right? Like if the NHL, AHL and ECHL were what Larionov was saying right now. Like if they were like a three division team or a three division system, and then like all of a sudden like the top 12 teams in the NHL were like, you know what, we're just gonna create our own league. You'd be like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
You know? So I understand it. And it's like I saw I don't know if it was like a TikTok or an Instagram video or something, but some dude was like talking about how all the owners of those 12 or 15 or 12 teams were, they're all like American except for like one or two. So he's like yelling at them because like these American like rich people are just trying to get rich off like the American system for sports or the North American system for sports. So, yeah. Shitty things going on in the world of soccer.
Too bad to hear. Fuck them though.
I was going to say, good thing we don't cover soccer.
Hockey all the way, baby.
Yeah.
Yo, also, Marlowe's 1,000th game, managed to get to overtime, come back from Las Vegas, kind of interesting here.
1,000th game, or is...
That, what did I say? Shit, you said, sorry, 17, my bad.
1768.
1768, sounds like fucking Remy Boys, sorry, go ahead.
Fellas, check your phone. I sent you to the group chat on Instagram. Connor McDavid's goal tonight.
Oh yeah, I saw it.
No Ooh, way.
Boy.
Pretty nice.
Just magical, man. This kid, like, I mean, not, he's not really a kid what? Anymore, but like, what the fuck?
What's our I'm glad you brought him up. What's the 100-point watch look like right
he's
now?
He's 78. 95.
Fucking cocks. Oh, sorry. Excuse me. I want him to hit 100 so bad in this shortened season. I'd be so fired up. Excuse my French.
He has 74 at the moment.
Yeah.
And the Oilers have 12 more games left.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. 2-on-1 for Evander Kane and whoever, just pathetic.
That's the Sharks.
I'm or so sorry.
Saved by Marty Jones.
So bad.
Is that Bo? I want to see this close.
Yeah, definitely does. I think I got nothing else.
I got nothing. I'm surprised we made it this far. I had nothing else to start this one.
Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah, it's weird. I'm just super excited to see how these trades pan out, but like more to see the playoffs and kind of how it all pans out. And like, I don't know.
Playoffs are going to be electric. Oh,
yeah.
Well, yeah, we got like, what, 3 weeks left basically? And then plus an extra week of Canucks games, but that was a good one.
Another week in the books. It was.
Another one in the books. We'll be back again next week, as always, like clockwork.
Yeah, enjoy. Hockey. Hockey all the time.
Hockey.
Playoffs coming. Hockey, but hockey.
We're in the down the final stretch here.
Hold on your potatoes, boys. It's gonna be a bumpy potatoes. Ride.
The end is near and the beginning is just about even closer.
I like that. That's a good end on that one.
All right, fellas. Well, we'll see you next week.
Thanks everybody for listening.
Yeah, thanks
Love
for
you guys.
Listening, everybody.
Go Bolts.
Yeah, drive safe and all that. God bless you.
Drive safe and all that.